Hold on. What happened to my voice? I don't even have any helium here. What the hell? No, no. Wait a minute. My voice is still like this.
The future is coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on.
Yeah, here we
are. This is future. Help me.
Oh. There you go.
Oh. It's better. Thank you.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, everyone. Welcome back. We're back. We're back
home.
Hi,
Bobby.
Hey, Bobby. Welcome.
Hi.
Yeah. Hey. Man, we are travelers, aren't we? We just got back from Montreal.
Yeah.
Had a blast there. We'll share a little bit of that with you during the show today. And Bobby right now is on vacation. And if you look at his shot, you can see a rather amazing background behind him. And this is the real thing. This is like live, at least for us.
And so
where are you, Bobby? What's going on?
This is Mount Baker. It's a very tall mountain. What's behind me is Mount Shuksan.
Shuksan.
And... yeah, that's right there. Mitch. And then Mount Baker is behind these trees and behind this other mountain over here. It's called Mount Baker.
Mount Baker.
There's a famous ski resort up here.
Oh, okay.
And people hike here in the summertime, and they hike all the way up to the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And that's what you guys been up to?
Yeah, what's your
doing
plan?
Some fun hiking?
You exploring?
We took a bunch of trails. I'll bring on Katya a little bit later, and she'll tell us all the plans that we've done far. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, welcome to the show. You're about an hour from the Canadian border, something like that?
Yeah, it's like an hour. It's very close. As the crow flies, it's about 20 or something. Yeah. This is as north I've been in the United States in the last few years, for sure.
I have been following some of the news, even though I've been traveling. One of the most amazing things is Ron Patrick interviewed this doctor. He's Turkish, but he has an immunology PhD, and also he's a medical doctor, and he works for OpenAI.
Whoa.
He has unlimited tokens to use at OpenAI, right? He can ask any questions about people's health, longevity, everything about immunology that he knows, and he also has a computer background. And he is the lead research scientist for medical things for ChatGPT, for OpenAI. He made some amazing predictions. He's saying, if you can just hold out for 10 years, all diseases, including cancer, will be resolved. And that in 10 years, not only can you slow down or stop getting older, he believes in 10 years, everybody should be able to regress back. This is based on Yamanaka factors, that you should be able to regress back to the age of 25 or 30.
One of the great dreams of humanity, right? To eternal youth, perfect bodies.
Yeah.
Of course, we need to be nice to have a nice planet to enjoy it in.
Yeah, well, if you've got a perfect body, you're going to have a lot more energy to devote to your beautiful planet.
Yeah, you would think, but, you know, most soldiers are young people. War is fought by the young, even though they can enjoy the bodies the best as well. The youth has the most range of exploration possible.
Well, you make it sound like they're choosing to do that. I don't think they're choosing to do that. It just happens to be the most available lucrative job that'll hire anybody.
Yeah, and the immune system is always at war in the human body, right? So it's always dealing with stuff. So we probably are in terms of our eternal health. If we get into rejuvenation mode, there's still going to be an immune system, right, Bobby?
Yeah, absolutely. What you're going to imagine is grandfathers and their grandchildren are going to look the same age, you know, and be able to do the same thing, the same sports, and go out and.
So really, we're approaching that moment where people are going to have to make a choice about how long they want to live here. And do they want to be part of the culture that dies off, or do they want to be part of the culture that changes our habits so that we thrive and live much longer lives? It's going to really change everything about our beliefs.
Well, a question comes to mind is that once we figure out that's basically the secrets of life and death, that eternal life is possible, and not just spiritually, but physically as well. So once that happens, then it's a different mentality about what life is. It becomes quality of life becomes more important. It seems if you're going to always be here, you might as well be in a good place all the time, if possible, right? I mean, that's one of the lessons of being an elder, is that you kind of enjoy the peace and quiet, right? In places where you can just be.
Well, I think you enjoy being able to cultivate your own attention span and not have to accommodate the attention spans of others, which feel more like interruptions.
Right now, Ed Sinclair is actually in phase two trials. It's a factor that actually turns on Yamanaka factors inside the eye, and it's a preliminary trial, and they're going to start out with the retina, macular degeneration, and glaucoma, where the nerve actually diminishes. They just inject these Yamanaka factors, and it turns back cells to where they were younger, and so they start to off like they were at a younger age.
Okay, let's see. So these specific groups of cells, let's say Yamanaka factors are a group of four specific protein codes named OCT4, SOX2, KLF4, and CMYC, were discovered in 06 by Dr. Shinyama Yamanaka. They can reset mature adult cells back into induced pluripotent stem cells.
Wow. Right.
Which can turn into any type of cell from there, so... Interesting.
What Sinclair is doing in his lab is not regressing them to where they're pluripotent, but just regress them to they recognize what cells they originally were. So you don't have to go that far back.
Are you just halfway there is fine. 33, you know, if you're forever 33, that might be good.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Eah.
How long would it take though, to go
pluripotent? Then, yeah.
Do you think pragmatically, you think it'd be a real-time one-to-one linear progression backwards, or do you think it would be sped up?
It sounds like to me these cells can regress back. It's very quick. It's amazing. Yeah. So we'll see after this phase two trial is over and they start doing phase three trials.
Yeah. And you thought GLP-1 was something.
Right. GLP-1 is a peptide. Peptides are like the thing everywhere. And in fact, I was mountain climbing in Mount Rainier and I met this couple. And he had just finished school at Berkeley, and his company sells peptides. He says he has very high qualities. He knows a lot about it, done a lot of research. So whatever ails you now, a lot of times you can just use some kind of peptide and it will promote that. Like there's something like a BCK-157, and that one is like a general peptide that can innervate a lot of muscles or skin and things like that. There's another one. There's a copper peptide. It makes you have a little skin color. Mm. Your skin is much healthier. You can find that in a lot of cosmetic drugs right now, these peptides. And you can either put them topically or you inject them. So insulin is a peptide. So just to let you know, insulin is a well-known peptide.
Yeah, growth hormone, CJC1295 is ipamoraline. A popular combination stack used for sleep, lean muscle support, and fat loss. 3-in-1.
Yes.
Sleep, lean muscle, fat loss.
We can all use that. Yeah, I can use that for sure.
Yeah. I mean, these really are popular right now too, eh? They seem to be working.
Yes. I mean, the big thing is quality because so many companies are into this that a lot of times you might be just getting water. And not really the peptide itself. So it's you have to source it right.
So, you know, I looked up the definition of what a peptide is because so many people are talking about it. And what it is to the body, it's like a pre-digested protein. So, you know, basically any kind of protein that the body is in the process of making use of that has been hydrogenated or oxidated or slightly cooked or slightly decomposed, these are all considered peptides. But it means that it's a partially digested element of your metabolism as opposed to one that hasn't been partially digested. So you're just, you know, saving your body some work by eating a peptide instead of a burger.
I see. It's a shortcut.
Yeah.
BPC 157. You heard of BPC?
Yeah, that's a very popular one.
Yeah, body repair seems to be a big element to that. That's a really key. Self-repairing body seems to be what biology does anyway. So I guess when that system starts to break down, you start to age. So if body repair systems are working better, better cleaning agents, I guess you might say, as part of it, that would make a difference. Let's see. Tendons, ligaments, and gut health seem to be BPC 157 territory. Body repair for tendons, yeah. Ligaments, and gut health. Okay, what's stacked with it? No, when they say stacked, does that mean taking in combination with?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
So,
and you really need a doctor's overlook to understand these, because very powerful, like hormones, these peptides.
You're messing with one of the life processes itself.
You are.
Yeah.
And a lot of people take too much and they overreact, and you know, bad things can come of that. You should always get tested and see metabolically how you're doing when you take these. They're very powerful and they can do amazing things, but it's easy to overdo it. Yeah,
I want one where I could just go back to my Stone Age consciousness for a few minutes and come back.
Go ahead.
You know, just to remember some things.
What does that mean?
Yeah, let me go back to that.
Stone Age?
Stone Age guy, yeah.
You want to be a caveman?
Copper Age. No, for a few hours. I mean, how long do these peptides last?
Like that dentist that you illustrated?
Yeah. Yeah. Time travel. You know, one of the most popular things on YouTube these days are watching these folks be time travelers and take you to various famous events in history. And it's getting more and more realistic all the time. And it's kind of fun because these people are pretending that they're actually there and interacting with the characters there and getting feedback. One girl likes to talk to George Washington about his wooden teeth, if that was true, for example, and finds out that it isn't true.
She found out is that only some of his teeth were made of wood.
He had some
out
of metal.
Some of the other ones were out of metal, and some of the other ones were actually out of other people's teeth.
Mm-hmm. He didn't want a hug. Apparently, he was never a hugger. And so, this girl, time traveler, noticed that and passed that on to us.
Huh. Is it real? How do we know? You know, it's easy to make stuff up these days.
I know. What's it? How fun is it?
It's a good story.
Not how true is it? How fun is it?
That's true. They care a lot less about what is authoritatively true, and they care more about what makes a good story.
Yeah. And there's consequences. Truth and consequences. Take on a new term here. It's a fun game sometimes.
Yeah.
Sure. The other thing that BPC 157 seems to be stacked with is something called TB 500, thymosin beta 4, for soft tissue recovery and flexibility. Soft tissue recovery. Now, what would that be like? Where you fell down and bruised, got a bad bruise, or something like that? Would be that soft tissue recovery kind of injury?
Blood vessels or
broken blood
skin
vessels? Accidents?
Any of the smooth vessels or skin. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
All right. Be like in Star Trek where you show a beam over something and watch it heal before your eyes.
Yeah, that's soft skin recovery.
Yeah, soft skin recovery.
In Star Trek.
Right. Well, I do have these sci-fi references for these magical events. So thank God. Gives me a direction.
You know, I've been taking piracetam.
Paracetam, that was usually
these nootropics. There are peptides similar to that or are part of the paracetam group. Yeah, I've been doing it since the 1990s. Maybe 30 years.
Is it still required have to go to formulation places or places that will do formulation in order to get these peptides, or are they readily available over the counter?
So Robert F. Kennedy Jr. took off the restrictions for compounding pharmacies to produce peptides.
What does that mean exactly? Is that something everyone has access to, or do you have to be a pharmacist to have access to a compounding pharmacy?
This allows doctors to prescribe peptides
and they know that what they're getting is exact. They're getting from a compounding pharmacy.
Yeah.
So that's the
quality control,
the correct way to get it. A lot of students in colleges, they just asked their friends and they said, you know, where can I buy this?
You know, I hear you. And it's an age old issue of all of this. But I'm thinking that once again, in the Star Trek modality, how about replicators for creating drugs? I'll have the peptides in this case. Are we very far off from that kind of technology, do you think? Where it becomes a more of a device for your kitchen?
Right. These companies in China, India, all over the world, you know, there'll be something like a microwave oven that you have, and it's a laboratory, and it can produce any kind of chemical protein you can imagine.
If I was a big pharma with billions of dollars, I'd definitely do R&D in that department.
It's the beginning of more of a decentralized pharma idea, you know, and it's also trusting more of the public with powerful compounds. And is that going to happen? Do we have more freedom in that department because the abuse is greater, you know, at the same time, or what? But I don't think those are going to stop it. I mean, if this kind of chemistry gives us eternal youth, that's one of humanity's dreams of all time. So, so you know, come hell or damnation, something's going to give on that one.
Yeah, the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, exactly.
And the
the control rods will slow.
And the reason, the reason why this was not known like a few years ago, the FDA, because of the pharmaceutical companies, they didn't want the public to know about peptides. So they made it illegal for doctors to prescribe peptides for any reason at all. And so now that that's legal to do, it's opened up a whole cornucopia of things that we can be done with this stuff. And there's less reliance on pharmaceutical companies to produce drugs to solve your problems, when the peptides are much more powerful and they're a lot less expensive.
What's really
ubiquitous?
The difference between a peptide and a drug in your understanding?
Drugs usually are designed to keep you on the drug because that's how the pharmaceutical companies
keep on marketing. Right.
Yeah. If it was a one-time thing, then the pharmaceutical companies, they don't prescribe cures for anything. They only prescribe things that treat symptoms for a long period of time. And that's how the pharmaceutical
companies work. Oh, yeah, I see. Work. Not so much cures, more lures.
Well, yes. I think that comes from the legal realm, because if you claim a cure or a remedy and you fail to provide that, then you can be sued for false advertising and fraud. You know, so they don't want to be sued for fraud. And so they pursue things that can't necessarily cure you. That way they don't have to claim that they are. So it really comes down to them trying to predict the future with accurate forecasts and not taking on predicting the future where you actually get cured, because they can't guarantee that.
I know, but the paradigm's shifting. I mean, look at the whole MedBed thing. The mythical MedBed that's going to cure all our ails is just around the corner. Mm. I heard rumors this week that it's already out in Japan. And this mythical kind of chamber that rejuvenates you to maximum health, I think, is connected to this dream of eternal youth or eternal well-being, actually, is a better term. It's not so much youth as it is well-being. And personally, I would rather have the consciousness of now with a youthful body than the consciousness I had when I was 30, for example. I'm glad I have the consciousness now. I think I'd be able to do a lot more with a 30-year-old body.
That's for sure. So say we all.
Yeah. Then in the past, get better, you know, we'll get some really sophisticated stuff. New forms of dance, perhaps.
Wow. Imagine so much more wisdom in all the sexually active people.
Yeah. You know, there's going to be a population explosion unless you have some kind of birth control thing, seriously. And a population explosion, you have to have a plan for that. And my guess is that we'll either go to outer space or inner space, which also includes inside the Earth. I think the Earth is probably a great place for colonization for people who want to go inward on the planet. And it's probably interdimensional. We'll probably be able to easy travel to other places through interdimensional travel, which we're on the verge of figuring out. Portals, that sort of thing.
You know, there's a lot of people who have spent a lot of time thinking about this in terms of the religious implications and the guidance for telling all of the new generations of people what to prioritize. Mm. You know, like prioritizing the right to life and giving birth and seeing yourself as a creator of life. And so participating as a steward, as a gardener, as a cultivator of life, that's a very different kind of religion than a religion that is not worried about treating life with a sacred care.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think part of that comes from your awareness of, like, we were talking earlier about Christ consciousness, Christ consciousness, right? And the idea is not so much to...
Okay, so this is a quote from Elizabeth April and her remote view of her visit with Christ, who she describes as, you know, a non-human actual being who exists in all universes and interacts with universes and interacts with millions of souls and millions of civilizations and millions of timelines, and all of the ways that the new seers are describing our next religion. And so her remote view of her visit with this ascended master, Jesus, is that he's this bright golden energy being who has threads to all of us light being bodies in this next dimension outside of our bodies. And he basically pointed out to Elizabeth April that there are all of these orbs collected over here that are alive on Earth and believe in him. And the message that he would hope they could understand is that they need to understand that they are him, that universal consciousness that makes us sympathetic and kind and nurturing and looking at the creation of life as if it is all our children. That consciousness is all of ours. And the fact that we believe in Jesus, he wants us to understand that that consciousness that we are seeing in him is actually our own consciousness. And if we practice that access to miracles from source and cultivators of life, all of those things he said about how this and more you too can do can be actualized.
It's a little matter of dissolving that I, thou, that boundary.
Yeah.
Just for even a few seconds.
Yeah. We are they. We're all them. We're all them. Jesus is everywhere. Anyway, it's a new take on Christ consciousness, not just Christ, the guy who died for your sins and has been the star of all these stories.
Yeah,
but
and I thought Christ, of Christ as an alien for a long time.
The Inlakesh aspect of your own universal consciousness.
You know, it's all us. If it's one universe, it's all connected. So including your awareness.
And let's cheerlead together for the things that are sacred.
Okay. Well, there we go. Longevity, metabolism, brain function. Yay.
Right. Wisdom in younger bodies. That's really good.
Okay. So Bobby, while we have you on the air here, let's bring in Katya and talk about your trip a little bit.
Okay, great. Katya.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. Hi, Katya. Good to see you.
Hi, son.
Hey.
So good to see you. Hi.
Yeah. You guys, man. Look at that beautiful world.
Oh my goodness.
Tell us about your trip.
Yeah, where'd you start?
Well,
where'd you
So last year, you know, we had that epic Oregon trip and I started, you know, fell in love with the Oregon, and this year it's another love affair with the North Cascades, man. It's been so beautiful. You know, initially we had scheduled it after Labor Day to avoid the worst of the fire season, but just timing didn't work out. And I planned it. Peak fire season, knowing full well that we were taking our chance.
I saw a lot of fires through the Northwest there, but from what I can see behind it looks kind of nice.
We've definitely been dodging fires, but we got super lucky. So we started out in Rainier. The fire in Rainier was on the east side and we were on the west side, the southwest side, and we had, like, it was clear and beautiful. You know, and I was monitoring it really closely and following it, and you know, a lot of local people, you know, they just say, look, like every day is different. The wind comes in, it clears things out, or it doesn't. And you can't, it's really difficult to plan. So that's why I decided to go ahead and try our luck. And we got lucky in Mount Rainier. And then we went up to North Cascades National Park off of Highway 20. And that was smoked. It was definitely smoked out. And in fact, that was last week. There were thunderstorms and they had lots of lightning strikes. Then we decided to come up to Mount Baker, and it's just been, you know, spectacular. I mean, maybe like, you know, on the trail yesterday, we passed a local guy who said he thought that, you know, there was some impaired visibility, but for us, it's just been spectacularly clear and beautiful.
All
so
right.
What are you showing us there? That's
yeah.
Your
okay,
power?
This is your anchor.
Yeah.
Power
right.
System.
Yes.
Excellent.
Solar recharge too.
Portable.
No doubt. Yeah.
I have a bigger one in the camper. It's a C1000, so it's about 3 times more powerful, and it's powering the not only the cooler, but it's powering the Starlink right now as we speak.
Ah, wow. Okay. Yes, I was about to ask you. You're on Starlink now. On the
yes,
on their mobile
Starlink.
Plan.
Yeah.
What kind of bandwidth are you getting up there?
You know, if I have an open sky like this right here, sometimes I can get like 250 or 300 megabits down and about 40 up, and that's the max. But in the campground, there's a lot of trees, right? And
yeah.
So, you know, I get around 100 up and down, 100
okay.
up, down, and about 15 down.
Yeah,
up.
I'm wondering if as you shift from satellite to satellite, if it shifts in the bandwidth as you go from one to the other. Anyway, it's something to look at later. It's looking good here. I mean, you guys got a solid signal. Yeah. So I'm really happy about that.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it so changes everything, you know, when compared to when you're in national parks and there's no reception, there's no way to connect, there's no way to know anything. This way, you know, we can look up trail information and campground information. And, you know, I mean, otherwise it's you're operating completely in the dark.
Yeah. At least until you get your local AI on your phone and you don't need to connect to the net anymore. But that's soon, right? That's next year, right, Bobby?
Well, I think when you don't need to
connect to the net, not next year. I mean, September, next month.
Next month? Oh, my God. So you'd be able to go camping without the net. Okay, go ahead. So what is your question?
If you're not connected to the net, how do you still get real-time information? You wouldn't be able to get updates, right? You just get whatever you're carrying with you.
That's right. But the training for these AIs are condensed so that they will fit on your phone next month.
Yeah.
Let's say you get a snake bite or something and, you know, you don't have Starlink or something.
Yeah, so
what are
most,
you going to do?
You're right. For super topical information, not so much, but for everything else, yes.
So it's kind of the equivalent of carrying with you an entire encyclopedia or like the latest stamp of the AI web, right?
We're talking about 100 times more than the Encyclopedia Britannica. Everything on the web. We're moving from a point of training these AIs to a point of inference, which means that all the training is already in your phone.
Yeah.
And now you're going to give it new information about you and your environment, and that's called inference. It's going to take all this collected wisdom of the world and bring it to your phone directly, and then you're going to apply this wisdom to your environment.
There was in the news reported a large meteor of some sort, and it crashed.
Yes, five days ago. Yes.
Uh huh.
5 days
okay,
ago.
So
wow.
How many miles up?
At 30 miles above. What happened was it was about a 150-pound meteor, and it exploded. So nothing hit the ground, but it completely disintegrated about 30 miles up, but it had this sonic boom. It was traveling at 30,000 miles an hour.
Now, I see that. Blue fireball, loud boom reported across north central Washington as the Perseids, during the Perseids.
During the Perseids.
Meteors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have heard people talking. I think Wayne was talking about what a spectacular Perseids show was available. Mm-hmm. And then he had seen the blue fire.
What? Impressive.
Wow.
Incredible.
That was amazing. Yeah. Okay. So we now have seen the web video. Yeah. Of the blue fireball. And so you guys were there, but you mostly saw it on the web and then talked to people who heard it. That's cool.
That area does have UFO sightings. There's a town called Glacier Town Site.
We're like 20 minutes from the town of Glacier is the last town before you get to Mount Baker National Forest.
They say there's a long history of odd in the sky reports there, right where you guys will be with the glacier. So
keep your eyes peeled, people.
And the main thing to look for is that they say there are glowing objects, and they have been sightings of triangular glowing objects.
Okay.
Specifically.
The first UFO was reported at Mount Rainier.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
pilot. There was a presentation by the forest ranger.
Yeah,
and the first thing he talked about was this UFO.
That's
right. The UFOs originated in Mount Rainier.
Yeah.
1947.
Yeah, like the same year as Roswell theory.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was the same year as Roswell. It was a couple of months before Roswell happened.
Where you are now, up in the mountains of Washington.
Yes. This is the most similar to the Swiss Alps.
Really? That's where the Pleiadians ships went, the Swiss Alps.
Yes. Yeah. These mountains are great.
Oh, my God.
They're cut out by glaciers.
Yeah.
It's really amazing mountains.
Well,
you're driving up here, and it's hard to look over the side because it just goes forever down straight.
Wow. Yeah. Now, is this a trip you could do if you had an electric vehicle, or is it too far off the beaten path to even consider such a thing?
You'd have to bring some pretty powerful solar panels for your lithium batteries to charge your car.
I don't know.
That's right. I did not see any charging stations here at the ski resort.
You see any electric cars there?
We've seen Rivians.
Rivian. Maybe a few Teslas, but not that many.
Not that many.
Not compared to San Francisco. It's even tough to even find gas. I mean, we have to drive out 30 miles.
Yes, we have to drive 30 miles from here to get gas. But we're excited to be an hour from the Canadian border. Our neighbor campers a couple days ago were from Vancouver, and that was fun. They were get their accent and. Because next summer, we really want to come back and do Vancouver and Vancouver Island and maybe a little bit of BC.
I use this great app called Watch Duty. You know, it shows you where all the fires are and how big they are. But it stops at the border. It's just really weird because you know the fires don't stop at the border. There's got to be an app that's more international for fire mapping. I haven't seen that yet. What's your plans next? Are you going to go up to Canada? You know, it's a good time right now. The dollar is, really
worth a lot.
Worth a lot. it's like 65 cents for a Canadian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so U.S. is, you can buy a lot for your money up there right now.
Really? No, because I haven't been to the Olympic rainforest.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
I want to do a night or two there on the way back.
Okay, all right. Well, keep us posted.
It's so beautiful. I'm so happy for you guys. It's just thanks for calling in and giving us a little chance to see it all and share it all. It's just amazing.
Yeah. What about the mosquitoes?
Oh my gosh, surprising too. The mosquitoes have not really been out. I mean,
really?
A few, but not very much.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain campsites where there's no mosquitoes, and I suspect it's the bats. The bats. Oh. There's one Douglas fir site, and it's been noted that there's no mosquitoes there, and they're right on the water. We saw bats. We took a little trail, and at night, about 6 or 7 o'clock, you'll see bats flying in the air.
That's great. Now, I saw a new camper accessory, a personal drone mosquito zapper.
It's called Tornio, and it has no camera or GPS. Then how does it hunt insects? Well, it uses the same technique as a bat. Using ultrasonic sonar, the drone detects flying insects by their exact wing beat frequency. The moment it hears that frequency, it locks on and crashes straight into the insect. It can patrol up to 5 acres on its own. While insects like mosquitoes kill 700,000 people yearly, this startup can transform this technology into a silent and chemical-free mosquito hunter.
Yeah, let's get a little laser.
Bobby wants that.
I want that.
Bobby wants that.
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be as effective as a bat.
Well, no, bats are probably better at it, but you don't exactly have much control over a bat or where they live or whether or not they're even interested in your site. Thanks for your report up there, you guys. That sounds like a great vacation. Look forward to seeing you next week, this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope to see you very, very soon and down there.
We're looking forward to it. All right. You guys have a great time.
Thank you.
Sign off. All right. We'll let you go back to nature.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Bye, guys.
A pioneering Gen AI app that makes comics accessible for the blind.
Comic Cast is a prototype that uses your phone's camera to capture the pages of any comic book. Then, artificial intelligence reads and interprets the content of each panel, extracts the dialogues and context, and transforms everything into voices and sounds to create a unique audio experience.
Mortadelo entra caminando con un mono de trabajo azul y una gorra del mismo color. Lleva un destornillador en la mano y Filemón está sentado en un sillón verde mientras teje algo con lana rosa.
Ya he instalado la nueva compuerta de seguridad, jefe.
Comics are a universal language, and now with Comic Cast, it can finally be within everyone's reach.
What a trip, huh?
Yeah. Joy of comics. You know, the visuals, the dialogue, fast-paced storytelling. And for hundreds of millions of blind people, visually impaired people around the world, this has been an inaccessible form of media, such comic books, stuff that we grew up on, had a major influence on our mentality. Mad Magazine, all these things were so Amazon Web Service partnered with a company called Dentsu Creative and Once with another company called IO Digital X to open up the comic universe to a relatively sizable audience. It's several million, I believe, that are blind around the world, to look at visual stories. It was revealed or unveiled at Comic-Con down in San Diego.
D23.
This year, hosted in Malaga. Yeah. And they demonstrated live with blind attendees who were delighted in front of an audience seeing comic books for the first time.
Yeah, because, you know, there is this whole industry for blind and visually impaired people where they add a descriptive layer to movies so that people can listen to a description of the visual components of a movie so they can get more out of it.
Descriptive audio, they call it.
Yeah, descriptive audio. And so that aspect has never been available for comics before.
It's barely be available for movies. You know, it's sort of a new thing. Yeah. It's where you have a description of the audio of what you're seeing between the dialogue on a film. Mm-hmm. And a lot of normal people would not do that because they like to just listen to the dialogue that the director wanted you to hear. In this case, the AI does a descriptive voice for the comic.
Yeah. And so it really is kind of like having a narrator with your comic. And like telling you every frame.
Yeah, it needs to be able to have the pace and the humor and the energy of the comic in the verbiage.
Right.
Yeah, and how do you get that? The AI generative model, one is called Amazon Nova Pro, and in Claude, just interestingly enough, Anthropic's Claude, is working with Amazon Bedrock.
Sounds Bedrock. Very Flintstones.
Yeah, the Amazon Nova and Claude handle most of the heavy lifting. And what they do is create a visual analysis scene and being able to describe a scene verbally, quickly, and clearly so that scene comprehension is grasped by the audience, that the audience quickly gets the scene. And so it's not just reading the comic, but it kind of acting it out, right? It's like a little show. It understands the context, the flow, the intent of what's being said and reflected in the dialogue.
Yeah, bringing it to life.
Wow.
Then it, uh-huh. and then it, they are even they've even figured out how to take a visual gag and reconstruct it into an auditory experience. Levin Labs is really behind this. It's one of the big companies.
Oh, to get the sound of the character just right.
Yeah, to really reflect the sensibilities of the piece.
Yeah.
That each character has a personality and has a certain way of talking, sweetheart. You know, well, and another layer of audio that involves sound effects. Sound effects are a very important layer. I use that all the time. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, and when you put this in the context of where it's all going as the AIs get better and better at playing with us and turning our conversations into animated conversations and enhanced conversations, and when they start talking back to us with little snippets of our own media, it's going to be a whole new way of paying attention and communicating that's beyond language. It's going to be a whole new multimedia kind of experience. Consciousness, and, a new cinematic language.
What's the twist here is that it's not visual. It's an auditory visual language. You know, well, it's translated, or it's almost the form
it's
of...
It's a transcription of the visual into an auditory realm.
Experience,
and I mean, you know, the Gamma 4, you can take pictures of things or scan certain scenes, and it will... do something like this, not as well as this comic book, but eventually those kind of tools will incorporate into your phone. And so you just take your phone or any type of camera, just walk through an image, and it will describe your setting and everything for people that have visually impaired or have no vision at all. A whole new experience of the world.
That's right. Yeah. That's huge. It's huge. And what's interesting is I don't think it's an area that's just appreciated by blind people. I think a lot of people kind of loved and missed the old time radio dramas and stuff where you heard reenactments, old 40s noir stories and and such. So it kind of makes that realm more easy to create. Right.
There's going to be directors and filmmakers that are going to take comic books and just have this AI scan the comic book and then make a visual movie, animated movie out of it. Or it doesn't even have to be animated. It could be full life people. And so use the comic book as a treatment or a storyboard for the movie.
You create a storyboard first and you ask the AI to create the key frames of your storyboard and then animate it after that. Full-blown cinematic quality 4K video now. Hmm. There's so many options, all kinds of special effects, but how do we take all these tools and turn it into a comprehensive set of one toolkit that you can easily learn and do it? You know, and I think that's we're in the process of consolidation right now. It's kind of like how all cars develop the same kind of control surfaces, so we all knew how to drive cars.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that's
it's a whole new world.
Right. And it's coming in because there was a need for blind people to read comics.
Okay, we're going to take off.
All right, Matt.
Okay, thanks,
good
Bobby.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, see you next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great trip.
Bye for now.
Bye. Yeah, bye-bye.
So, folks, I hope you enjoyed today's show. I'm going to have fun adding some visuals and sound effects to this one. Take it easy.
Lots of love from us both. What am I doing here? I'm losing my voice again. That's how we started, Mrs. Future.
All right. Whew. All right, bye, folks. See you soon.